Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 11th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
OpenStreetMap. It's grown from a local project to having a worldwide following of map enthusiasts. It's grown from having 10,000 users in 2007 to over 1.1 million today. We'll snapshot the current state of OpenStreetMap, the tools supporting it, and the implications for continued development of the open data model. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Over the past weekend, the State of the Map U.S. conference was held in the San Francisco Bay Area, and though neither of us could attend the event, it seemed like an appropriate time to review where OpenStreetMap is and why it continues to attract not just contributors to this crowdsourced mapping project, but large corporate users who are depending on a good base map for web and mobile applications. And for those listeners who may not really be familiar with OpenStreetMap, I'll just give you a brief background. It was founded in 2004. OpenStreetMap Foundation is a UK-based not-for-profit organization that supports the entire project. And there are volunteers that collect data that is of specific interest to them. They've done it from all over the world, in particular in maybe remote areas, and certainly when there's crises, that's when we've seen OpenStreetMap really get into the action. The foundation noted that on January 6th, it had crossed the 1 million users mark and really continues to grow both in terms of the data and active user base. Its level of detail to me is just outstanding. You just hardly can compare it to some of the other maps that are out there. So I'm quite impressed by it. There's a new data editor, for example. It's called ID Editor. It's an HTML5-based editing solution. That particular effort was begun in July 2012, and because of a grant from the Knight Foundation of about $500,000, was continued its development, and that's supported by Mapbox. Where I want to start, Adina, is that, as I said in the intro, OSM is used by companies like Foursquare and USA Today. These are diverse companies with really differing applications. And my first question is, what does this really say about the applicability of OpenStreetMap and maybe its maturation?
Well, I think it says something about both the applicability and the maturation. But I think it says a lot more about Mapbox, because both of those two organizations are Mapbox services users, right? They're not direct OpenStreetMap users. They might be, I don't know. But we hear about their use through Mapbox and its outreach to the world. But I think that has more to do with sort of where we are at with online mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are at, I would argue, is no one wants to manage the base map. No one wants to host the services internally. They want to use a service. And that's what Mapbox provides, and that's what a number of other organizations provide. Mapbox right now provides a very pretty, easy to implement, cost-effective solution, and that's what these folks are using. While OpenStreetMap is part of that, I think there's other things going on. Now, when you dig down and ask, why might Foursquare or USA Today care about using OpenStreetMap versus some other data set, then it gets a little bit interesting. And you can look at the question of, well, Foursquare, social network, check-ins, data collection, doing all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe they don't want to work with, say, a Google, with whom they might compete in all of those things, but rather use a data set and a service that is less competitive, like Mapbox paired with OpenStreetMap. And I think the other part of that, too, is that when you look at who's working at USA Today and a number of the other media companies right now, they're coming out of some of our top IT cartography programs across the country. And they're all about services, and they're all about the web, and they're maybe far less about digging into the gory details of ArcGIS and so forth. And that's not the solution they're going to bring to their employer, but they're going to look for services from reputable organizations with good data, and that's what they're going to implement.
Well, you bring up a couple of interesting points, in particular the one about Foursquare not wanting to compete with Google and use their API. It seems that they're willing to get their hands dirty on something like this, but also because it's a crowdsourced venture itself, Foursquare maybe seems more comfortable in using a like-minded solution set. But the other implications are there are other data sets out there, and I'm thinking of what does this pose to TomTom and Navtech, who have built their companies based on rich data sets, navigable data sets, and yet they seem to be eschewed by some of these organizations. And I don't know if that's cost or whatever, but regardless, they've chosen something like an OpenStreetMap. Again, big organizations not choosing a commercial street provider like a Nokia, Navtech. So it just seems that maybe OpenStreetMap is just simply better, or the obvious one, it could be just more cost-effective.
Or it could be easier to implement. The licensing issues are lower. The technology is more modern. There's a whole fleet of things that go into plugging in one map service over another into your application. I haven't had the privilege of querying Foursquare and the folks at USA Today about exactly why they selected this particular solution. But my sense is it's a whole lot more than just the fact that it's OpenStreetMap.
Yeah, I don't know. I did have an opportunity. An old college colleague of mine works at USA Today. And while he didn't give a reason for implementing it, he just said that they've had very good success with OpenStreetMap and TileMill. And I think previously to that, they had been using another source, and I don't know what that was. But for whatever reason, they've gone in this direction. It's working for them. I want to point to an interview we have posted yesterday with Mapbox. And we interviewed Zach Passavento, and he's the marketing communications director. And he made an interesting statement. I don't know if it's that provocative, but it still caught my attention. So the future of data is open, and OpenStreetMap is the community to make this happen. And yet I think, as maybe you alluded to, OSM lacks some inherent capabilities, such as better address ranges for supporting geocoding. And this is something Passavento mentioned specifically in the interview, that they want to improve the database for geocoding and possibly even for navigation. I wonder if this is hindering its application possibilities in any way. It doesn't seem to be.
It seems to be, and I'll put this in quotes, good enough for the folks that are selecting it. So for background maps, things like USA Today or Foursquare, seems to be just fine. I think with the new editors and the new tools, the opportunity to enhance this data is really going to increase exponentially. Whereas, I mean, it took a long time to get people plugged into what OpenStreetMap was and to start editing and adding data, in part because it was just a difficult process. It was very unfamiliar. Well, here we are. Everybody knows about Google Maps. Everybody has played around with My Maps or sort of customizing their own online maps. Well, now all of those things you already know allow you to very easily do some edits in OpenStreetMap. And one of the things that I saw this week that I don't know if it was officially announced at State of the Map or if it just came out in conjunction with it was a little piece of leaflet code that you can drop into your application that basically puts an edit button in your application. So any of your users who come and use the mapping application can hit that button, jump over to an editor, and make the changes.
And that would go into OpenStreetMap or just in that application?
Yeah, you're actually going to be opening OpenStreetMap, editing OpenStreetMap.
Well,
so it's much more along the lines of what some people do with Google Map Maker. While you can do this in the United States, I think most of that work is still being done in other countries where the mapping isn't so good. But the fact that you have this army of users of OpenStreetMap that can then very simply make their users editors, especially of that piece of geography that they care about, that's going to really, I think, help explode the number of editors and jump that data up, especially if you're interested in things like routing and navigation and address information. The local people know that stuff the best.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny because over the weekend, while I was trying to do some research for our podcast, I came across somebody on Twitter who had said, well, he was just recently on a bike trip to Jordan and he took his GPS device with you in the hopes of editing and uploading his data to OpenStreetMap. And he said every street that he rode on had already been mapped. I thought, wow, you know, even in some remote places, which Jordan isn't that remote, but still to have that inclination that you wanted to contribute and then all of a sudden find that it was already mapped, I think is quite astounding and goes to the point that a lot of the data is from around the world is being captured. And OSM is the place where people are contributing to making it a much better map.
Well, and I think there's been a lot of energy from the OpenStreetMap community in trying to make the argument of if you're going to spend your time adding data to maps or editing data on maps, you know, think about doing it over at OpenStreetMap versus at Google or anywhere else because of the vision that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think slowly but surely that has sort of moved out into the world. And I have to say, I think the awareness of OpenStreetMap, even outside of the geospatial community, is getting very high. I can't remember the last time I mentioned it to anybody outside of this field who didn't say, oh, I've heard of that.
Right.
So that's a big step, too.
Yeah, and there seems to be a community of add-on things being brought into OpenStreetMap. I think there was something called QuatraShapes, a global polygon gazetteer to add to the maps. The community that is supporting it has, I think, just exploded, and I think that's a great thing.
And the one corner of that I'm still waiting for is I haven't seen the education community jump into this yet.
And is there a reason?
There's some very active players in GIS in the education space, but I think it's a wonderful way to introduce people to geodata and editing geodata, and there's some wonderful projects that I think can be done, especially with a new editor, high school and up. I think it's a great platform to consider and to introduce this whole concept of open data and open source software.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a natural thing.
I think one of the reasons it hasn't happened is that OpenStreetMap is very much, its direction is pointed by certainly the foundation and its users. And there's so many things they could do. And they've really got to pick and choose which ones are the most important at this point. And I think sort of an education focus just hasn't popped up on the radar yet. But I think it will.
Do you think the education community is too entrenched with other proprietary solutions? And I'll mention Esri or whatever, but that seems to be the dominant one.
There's an awful lot more interest in open source in the education community, which is great. But for whatever reason, and maybe it was waiting for an editor that was much more user-friendly to get students plugged into open source and open data and, hey, look, you can change the world by editing this world map. Maybe all the things are just coming together at this moment in time.
Yeah. I want to bring up one last issue, which is I think building maps has been radically different than it was even 5 years ago because of open source software and open data sources. And I know your contention is the open community, open source in particular, is just software. And then I think you can make the argument that open data still needs to be updated and made richer. I also thought that your interview with Linda Rockwood, the owner of Mohawk Valley GIS, about using Leaflet and CartoDB, was interesting. And I wonder if this poses a question that does open data and open source level a playing field for some of these small businesses that they may not have been able to afford proprietary software and data?
I think we use this term leveling the playing field an awful lot. And I think there's a sense that if you're small, you can't use what everybody else uses. And that really isn't true. Because the first player in the space was Google Maps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody could use that, and there were no fees, and it's an open API. And only recently did they even tweak it such that you have to pay if you're over a certain number of transactions. To say that OpenStreetMap is going to be the thing that levels the playing field isn't quite right somehow. Mm-hmm. I think what's happening instead is that the competition now is for the best mapping services. So, you know, give me a base map, give me a geocoder, you know, give me editing tools and that sort of thing. And I think it's very telling that when people are doing their evaluations, they're evaluating both the services and the raw data. And as we've suggested, a lot of times the answer is an OpenStreetMap-based solution. I don't know that that's leveling anything. I think it's just providing more choices.
Well, and I'm wondering if it's a differentiation situation where I'm going to pick a Google Map API versus an OpenStreetMap solution, maybe because Google Maps allows me better integration with satellite imagery. Although, recently Mapbox and Skybox signed a relationship, and maybe that's coming. Maybe there'll be better satellite imagery integrated with OpenStreetMap. So I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it's you're going to choose ArcGIS for something and Google Maps API for something else and OpenStreetMap for a third type of application. So we're seeing a market differentiation.
And that's the picture, the vision that's been put out for, 20 years, maybe 15 years, that you are going to build your application from all these bits and pieces and services that were out on the web. And now you really can. And some of them are open source and some of them are open data and some of them are proprietary software and some of them are proprietary data. And you, the consumer, you, the educated developer, have to be aware of all the choices out there and make the best choice based on your needs, the quality of the data, how much money you have in your pocket. And I think the best thing we can say about OpenStreetMap and the companies that are building solutions on top of it is we've got more choices than ever, and that can only be for the good.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. That's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, ESRI, wants you to know that the ESRI International User Conference will be held July 8th through the 12th in San Diego, California. Attend the conference to learn about the latest innovations in the ArcGIS platform, mobile applications, cloud computing, and 3D technology. Visit esri.com/UC for more information and to register.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, we'll be in Sao Paulo, Brazil next week. We're conducting our Location Intelligence Brazil Conference on June 19th. If you can't make it, that's okay too, because you can join us via webinar. You can find out more information at directionsmag.com/webinars. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or send us a tweet @Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.